your answer is right under your nose, you know, talking about our mouth and what we say. You know, back up just a tad bit, because we didn't finish the little section that I was doing last week, called Balance, Wisdom, Prudence, Common Sense, and Good Judgment. You know, which is what we all seek, and especially mature Christians. You know, most all of us are in that category, so we pretty well know, you know. But there's some little tidbits here that might help a little. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a self-confident fool exposes his flaws, his folly. It seems to me from many years of observation in the kingdom of God, that people, and even some teachers, have a little difficult time with balance. Now, we don't have that here. You know, Pastor Jim is beyond, but there are others sometimes. The doctrine concerning the power of words, the mouth, confession, calling those things to be not as though they were, are, and speaking things into existence. Is one example where I've seen people get off to extremes from time to time. But it seems that the flesh wants to live in the ditch on one side of the road or the other, but it has a difficult time staying in the middle of the highway between the lines of safety at times. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at times. For the enemy of ours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring, in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8.
Right.
So, wisdom seemed to me like it's a central theme of God's Word from time to time. And a matter of fact, I don't think there's really any victory without it. You know, we all have to eventually go down this road. In Webster's New College Dictionary, I even looked it up in the dictionary. It says, it's defined as, one, understanding what is true, right, or lasting. We're talking about wisdom. Two, good judgment, common sense. Okay. Wisdom does not operate in extremes. Proverbs 1:1-4 says that wisdom is full of prudence, and prudence is good management in our life.
That's good.
In this same dictionary, prudence is defined as careful management, economy. I thought it was weird. And the adjective form of prudent is defined as using good judgment, or common sense in handling practical matters for ourselves and our family. I believe we must say that wisdom is a combination of balance, common sense, and good judgment. A teacher of God's Word has to be responsible to explain himself enough to be reasonably sure that believers in all stages of spiritual growth understand him or understand her. To make one blanket statement that you can have what you say without any explanation is dangerous to the immature Christian. So I believe our teachers are trainers, called to train up the children of God. It's their responsibility to realize that not everyone listening understands that statement to mean that you can have what you say if what is saying is in line with God's Word and will for him at that particular time in his life.
You made a statement about the immature Christians. When they get that, sometimes they use it wrongly, like you said. They probably believe in God, somebody else's husband, That's what Kenny Copeland said a lady was doing with him. She had married him in the spirit. Because the word of God said, you can have what you say, you know. That's the word then. But then they immature, they don't. That was very immature.
Yeah. She's coveting somebody else's husband.
Right, right.
Paul said, you know, I coveted no man's possessions or anything, you know, at the end.
Yeah, well, seems to me like most teachers have a particular strength or focus, you know, to their teaching, and rightfully so. Has to do with the call of God on their lives. Some are called to exhort and keep the children of God cheered up, keep them zealous and processing forward, pressing forward. Others may be called to teach faith. And still others prosperity. There are those who are called to teach almost exclusively on finances. We've seen that. And many have been called to teach and demonstrate healing, which I think is what we have here actually. Well, I believe very strongly in the power of confession. You know, I believe we should speak to our mountains, and in many, if not most, instances, the answer to our problems is definitely right under our nose, in our mouth, what we say. But I also believe very strongly in the maturity of the believer, the crucifixion of the fleshly nature, dying to selfishness, the necessity of obedience, and most of all, to me, submission to the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm not trying to teach us something or just help you get out of trouble or to get everything you want. I'm hopefully to helping you think and learn maybe how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
To see the will of God accomplished in your life. And I thought that was sort of interesting. Mm-hmm. This next section is prophesying your future. Mm. Yeah, what do we say? You know, James 3:2, if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is a full developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. I'm still learning there. We'll continue, I guess. What was the first thing we said this morning when we got out of bed? Yeah. What have we been talking about all day? Despite what we may think, it does matter. It really does. And to you and to your well-being, as James points out in the scripture. Words are very important and powerful, and we will be held responsible for them, just as Jesus warned in Matthew 12:37, where it says, for your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned or sentenced. That's why each of us needs to learn to tame our tongue. Which, is a mission all in itself. Okay, I don't care who you are. taming the tongue. James 3:4-8 talks about the rudder of ships and the winds driven, stirred by a very small little rudder. It's driven by the impulse of the driver. Even so, the tongue is a little member and can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest, a tiny spark, can destroy or set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set upon our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body. And set on fire the wheel of birth. the cycle of man's nature. Being itself ignited by hell. Where every kind of beast and bird, or reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human nature, basically. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, evil, full of deadly poison. And as James tells us here, no man can tame the tongue, not by himself. But he also states that the tongue is undisciplined. Anything undisciplined will be wild, like my crazy dog I got, yeah, and uncontrollable, always wanting to do it their own way. A child sometimes is like that. I remember my two little ones. So is a wild animal. The human tongue is no different. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit.
Help us, Holy Spirit.
To control our tongues.
Help us, Lord.
But God will not do it all for us. We must learn to discipline our own mouths and take responsibility for what comes out of it. How do you talk about your future? Yeah. If you're not satisfied with your life and want to see a change, you have to begin prophesying a better future for yourself.
Whoa.
And your loved ones, according to God's word. Because you can change things in your life by cooperating with God. And I've seen that more than more. Without God, obviously you can't change anything, but in agreement with Him, all things are possible. Matthew 17:20. Okay. Yes, you begin to change things in your... Yes, you can begin to change things in your life if you will take the Word of God and start to speak it over your life. Most of us don't use our mouth at all for what God gave it to us for. There's great power and authority in words. The kind of power depends on the kind of words. We can curse our future by speaking your, or we can bless it by speaking well of it. Some have learned the danger of speaking negatively, but God wants us to go a step further. One step. He wants us to start prophesying what we desire to see happen in our lives. I thought that was sort of unusual. I never really thought about that. Most of us have some kind of dream or vision. No?
It's in the book of Acts. He said your sons and daughters will prophesy. Mm-hmm. You know, we see it right there, but then we don't see it.
Yeah.
He said the servants. Mm-hmm. He said the handmaids.
Yeah.
We are a prophetic generation.
Yeah. And we have
every generation is a prophetic generation.
Yeah, I just thought that was a different twist to prophesying for yourself. Or about yourself or others, you know, for visions and things that you wanted to do, to accomplish, you know.
And it said the Holy Spirit will bring it up. The Holy Spirit is going to pour it out. You won't be saying what you would say about yourself. Oh, I'm too fat, too skinny. I don't like me. But the Holy Spirit is going to be giving you what to say.
Mm-hmm.
We're a prophetic generation. I tell y'all that all the time. We're a prophetic generation, people. Okay.
But most of us have some kind of dream or vision.
Mm-hmm.
There is something we want out of life, personally, financially, socially, spiritually, for our families, ministry, health, etc., whatever. It could be a career. In this life, there are material things we desire, and there are spiritual things we desire.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's a mixture of the two, or both. We want to grow spiritually and be used by God.
Right.
And we want to be blessed in our material circumstances as well. There were times in my life when I desired things that would happen, would have come under the category of blessings. But due to ignorance of this material and concerning this subject matter, I said out of my own mouth, I would probably never see these blessings come to pass. I spoke according to what my experience had been in the past, and therefore I was cursing my future with my own words. I was agreeing with the devil instead of with God. Hello. I needed to call these things that were not as if they were.
Amen.
I need to call forth from the spiritual realm what I desire. Considering that I was only waiting for the manifestation of it. I needed to cooperate with God's good plan for my life.
Jesus.
But I was deceived. I was believing lies, because that's what deception is. Lies. That's all I've got right this time. But maybe
you're right on time. 9:15. But that is so true. We are, I hope we never forget that. We are a prophetic generation. Listen, you're not gonna be no more prophesying for your sons and daughters. They're gonna speak themselves. They're gonna prophesy themselves. You may have to prophesy now for them. But it's gonna come a time when they're gonna prophesy themselves. The young man, the old man, servants of God, handmaidens.
And you have to direct your life. Years ago, when me and my cousin opened that shop downtown, we had Eric, he knew this accountant. They happened to go to produce a paper. And when we all sat down, he said, how much money you going to make a year? $1,000, $200. But how much you going to make? I said, I don't know. We just started. But what he said was something key. You can't prophesy how much for a man. You can, the Lord will show you how to do it. He'll show you your role.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit will help you through it.
In the first weeks, we can go back long. Whenever you do make a change of business, it changes. We ended up, I had a lot of customers that used to come to the house, but everybody had to get used to coming down there. Most of them didn't, they didn't come so quickly. We just joined hands and prayed, and people started coming. So you can prophesy what you're going to do.
That's something Kenneth Hagin did once. He was going to a town that didn't have people that had that much money, but he knew what he needed to have to go back to the next town and his expense.
Right.
So he decreed and declared it, and he got more than that.
Yeah.
So never put yourself down. Always, you're children of a living God.
Amen.
So whatever you speak, believe it. Ask. Believe and you shall receive.
See, in them days, I didn't know I could do that.
We all were there at one point.
And still,
but thank God we are not there anymore.
It's important to your faith, but your faith is wrong. So.
So we're just like our fathers. We are creators. This is where we create from, our mouth. So that's the way He created. He created from His mouth. So we just like our Father. We are creators.
Yep.
Praise God. Okay.
Bless
the
folks. Get
somebody.
Nick, Matt, give us a prayer for
food. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all His blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies and how they endure forever. Thank you, Lord, for your healings. Thank you, Lord, for business opportunities. Thank you, Lord, so, Lord, we can take and use that money, Lord, to further the kingdom of the gospel, to get more people saved in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this class and uplifting on this teaching, God, Lord, that everything we do speak, Lord, it means something. And Lord, we will give an account for these words, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for giving us control over this time. In Jesus' name, I bless this food and nourish for our body and give us strength, Lord, to serve you, the living King. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's good. Amen.